Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I want to thank you for being with me today. I'm your host, Paul White, and we're going through Galatians verse by verse. Yesterday, we dealt with the sixth verse of the sixth chapter. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And we promised to use another Pauline passage to help shore up this thought of giving today. To do that, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul begins talking about sort of a pattern of self-denial that he has as an apostle. And one of the areas of self-denial that he has is in taking from them. But he does want to justify ministry taking from the people. And this ninth chapter then becomes, 1 Corinthians 9, becomes one of the most important passages that Paul will write in regards to giving, that coupled with our text from Galatians 6. And what you'll notice when you read the ninth chapter in Paul's discussion of giving is that Paul doesn't mention the tithe. And why is that? That is because, and there's, of course, there's more when you work through Paul's talking of giving. You get into Paul's discussion of compulsory giving. But Paul doesn't mention the tithe because the tithe was directly linked in the Jewish framework to the support system for the priesthood. The sons of Levi did not, and we mentioned this yesterday, they did not inherit lands. And so when people gave of their goods into the priesthood, they were doing so that the priesthood could have an inheritance. You and I are under the new covenant. We don't have natural priests. Therefore, we don't have anything to tithe into. And on spiritual terms, you and I are all kings and priests in the eyes of God. And therefore, we have a different and invisible inheritance. The priesthood of the Old Testament had the invisible inheritance of people's tithe. You and I, the priesthood of the New Covenant, have the invisible inheritance of the promise of the Father, the rest that comes in Christ. Therefore, when we give, the principle of giving remains the same. We're giving into the propagation of something. Israel gives into the propagation of the priesthood, but they don't, and they do so because that priesthood had no inheritance. You and I give into the propagation of the gospel, and we do so because the gospel needs to be funded. For those who argue for the tithe, it's an interesting argument because not even everyone under the old covenant had to tithe. The children of Levi never tithed. How did they get off the hook? Well, they got off the hook because they didn't have an inheritance. They didn't have anything to tithe. And so there was the indication then that if you didn't produce anything, you didn't tithe. And so not everyone, not 100% of Israel, was even underneath that obligation. And we also don't see Israel having to tithe their paycheck. They tithed their first fruits when they harvested their fields. They gave 10% of that. It wasn't as if every week when they made some money, they went and gave 10% to the priesthood. That would have been an overwhelming tax, and that they were not under such obligation. The text from 1 Corinthians 9, Paul uses the Moses statement of Deuteronomy 25, "Don't muzzle an ox while it treads the grain." Is it oxen God is concerned about? Great question by Paul. In other words, is God saying this about oxen? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? And 1 Corinthians 9, 9, and 10 is a fascinating look at how you can see literal statements in the Old Testament as symbolic statements for the New. So the Old Testament statement, don't muzzle an ox when it treads out the corn, you could see that as a literal statement. Don't muzzle the ox while he's working. You should put the feed bag on him. He needs to eat while he's working. Paul says, what in the world does God care about oxen? And Paul's interpretation is, I don't think God was concerned about the ox. I think God was concerned about those who plow, those who do the work, need to be able to partake of that work. Don't keep them from eating just because they're laboring. So he then concludes with this statement from verse 11. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? In other words, for those of us who are spreading the seed of the gospel, those of us who are treading the corn, those of us who are doing the work, is it a big deal if we reap some of your material things? So as you give into ministry, is it bad that because we are treading out the corn, we make money off of that? Now, I'm one who has a hard time merchandising certain areas of the gospel. I give as much away for free as I can. But I'm really just trying to be sensitive to the sound of the Spirit in my own life. I'm not laying some law out that says don't charge for this or that or the other. I don't have a personal appearance fee. People contact our ministry and say, what would it get to have you come to our group or our church? And I say, cover my expenses. Fly me in. Take care of me. I'll leave it up to you and the Holy Spirit as to what to give. Now, if I kept doing that every week and no one ever paid me, then I'd have to go off the road because that's part of my livelihood. But I've been blessed, man. I go places and people bless my socks off financially. But I don't ever say, okay, I'll come, but you need to write me this check and I need half of it up front. And, you know, I don't feel right doing that. I understand why people do it in the modern economy or whatever, but I don't feel comfortable with it. However, I have no qualms about living of the gospel. Paul would go on in that 11th chapter to say that a man ought to live of the gospel. He even says the Lord commands us to live of the gospel. Closest I can see is in Matthew 10 when Jesus sends out the 12 and he says a worker is worthy of his food or a worker is worthy of his hire. I don't know that that's considered a command that we live of it, but the disciples were definitely under the live of the gospel command. And for as many of us as can, that's a beautiful thing. But don't leave your day job so that you can go live of the gospel unless that is exactly where you find your peace in the walk of the Spirit. So we live a good life and we live it primarily because of the openness of those of you who are blessed by what we do. If that started to go away, then we would have to reassess some of the lifestyle choices we make, and we would have to reassess how much we're able to do, you know, full time. Could we write? Could we do podcasts? Could I travel? Some of those things would have to come off the table. That's just part of life. Part of the reason that my family and I are relocating this summer is to get away from the high cost of living we have in California, because I feel like it's not fiscally responsible. Once I get my son, he's out of high school now, get him off to university, I feel like we would be smarter with the money that the Father is bringing into us through what we do. It would be wiser to do it in a place that it costs a little less just to live. And so we're trying to follow the Holy Spirit in that. Same way that I would have our audience follow the Holy Spirit in how you give. What you give and how much you give. You take all of that thought back to Galatians 6:6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And that's what you do as listeners of the DDP. If you enjoy what Paul White Ministries brings, so many of you bless so that other people get to hear that. And that exponentially goes a long, long way. However, you're not required to do that. And I love to give, but I hate to be told to. And I think we're all that way. It's probably just that part of that's a little bit of the American in us. You know, I love to be generous, but I hate to compulsory be generous. I don't feel like that's generous. If you said you have to give this much, it feels like a tax. If I get to give, then I get to give from my heart. And I do that, and I know you do as well. And I think if you're feeding, I'll say this in close, if you're feeding on something, you should give into it. You don't have to look at it as a law. But you should give, and you should follow the Holy Spirit. I give into things that are not even ministry because I enjoy them. And they're nonprofits or they're charitable organizations, and I enjoy what they do, and they enrich my life. I give into them. I think if we don't do that, those things go away, and what we don't support then vanishes. Tomorrow we deal with what some consider a troublesome passage. I think it's really misapplied, verse 7 of Galatians 6. We'll see you then. God bless.